Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and welcome to all the new subscribers that have joined just since Wednesday. My goodness, can you believe it's Saturday already? These episodes are creeping up, aren't they? I love doing two a week. It's such a joy. I really look forward to it. And well, I do batch some here and there, so I've got a couple up my sleeve for when I'm not up to doing a recording. I have to say, of late, nearly all of these recordings have been on recorded on the day or sort of done the night before. And the inspiration for today's topic came about because, well, you know me, I've decided this year that I'm just going to live my higher purpose and be my true self and step into that fully. And of course, I'm pushing boundaries. What can I say? It doesn't feel like pushing boundaries anymore. In fact, it feels like I'm coming home. It felt like pushing boundaries when I was in a space where it wasn't so acceptable to be talking about all of this sort of stuff. But I have to say, this year has just been so transformational. I've been able to release the registration as a psychologist. I've been able to step more into that spiritual space. I've been able to do more of that work that's around helping women in private practice really connect with their divine feminine and their sacred masculine and harmonize the two and all that sort of stuff. And anyway, one of the other things that I've been doing, and I've been doing for a little while now, is using tarot to help me with my two businesses. And I've never really spoken about it, and I don't know why I haven't spoken of it of late, now that I've kind of given myself permission, if you like, to talk about it. I just must still be in the habit of keeping stuff to myself. So it was during the week I was, It was a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to tell another lie. Okay, rewind to about 3 or 4 months ago now. A girlfriend of mine, she was talking about how she was struggling with her business. And I said to her, well, that's okay. I'll do a card reading for you, meaning the tarot cards. And she said, oh, do you do tarot cards? And I said, yeah. And she was so surprised to hear that. And then anyway, she asked me to do reading for her. And it was super fun. So we just had a Zoom session because, of course, being in Melbourne, Victoria, like we've been in lockdown longer than China. So we weren't able to catch up. Plus, she's interstate. So we did our whole card reading on Zoom. And I gave her, a summary of the reading. And I said, look, let's check in with each other down the chat, because I'd love to know how you go, keep me posted. And it was such a difficult reading in some ways, because there were some things that came through that I didn't really feel comfortable sharing with her, and I don't think she felt too comfortable hearing. Not that I do dark readings, it's nothing like that, but things to do with her business and team and the direction of the business and stuff like that. So anyway, what ended up happening was she came back to me and she said, oh my goodness, this just happened. And then another week later, it was like, oh my gosh, this just happened. And so it was like this, succession of things that she was relating back to our reading. And then just recently she said, oh, can I have another reading? I really need to know what's going to happen next. And so, of course, I said yes. So we did another reading, and it was good. It had a real mix of stuff in it. It had some really exciting things for her private practice. And it had some things that were, I guess, a little bit worrying perhaps in terms of the direction that her brand was going in. And again, stuff was coming up around team and some contracts. So anyway, she's got back in touch with me and she said, oh my gosh, this has happened. And then she's gone and told some of her friends about, tarot readings for private practice and, how this has really been so helpful for her. And so, over the last couple of weeks, what this has done is it's given me sort of like that, my own light bulb moment to say, oh, I should actually throw this up on the website. So I've gone and popped it up on my website. If you want to go and learn a little bit more about tarot and therapy and, private practice, especially if you're a woman in private practice, head over to my other website. It's called soulsessions.online. You can read more about it there. But anyway, I thought maybe it would be time for me to start talking about this a little bit more. So I put a post up on Facebook. I've had heaps of private messages about it. It turns out, as I was saying, I do like to push the boundaries a little bit. And working in the space of women in private practice, many of those women are very scientific and very professional, and they've got these reputations that they're very precious about looking after. And I totally respect that and honor that. And so I've had a lot of private messages coming through asking questions about, well, how do I do this? Is there really a place for this? Does it really work? Is this something that would work for me? Can I do it for myself? So all those sorts of questions. And so what I thought I'd do today for you is share a little bit about why I find that it works, whether or not it's going to work for everybody, and I guess some of the deeper understanding around how it actually works. So yeah, I guess my post simply said, is there a place for tarot when it comes to private practice? I've been reading cards for my own enjoyment and often providing readings for family and friends. Then I began wondering if my daily oracle card reading could in fact be swapped for a tarot one instead. So each morning as part of my daily routine, as you know from previous podcast episodes, I meditate for about 20 minutes. Then I get up and journal, set my intention for the day. I choose a deck of oracle cards that I feel really drawn to. So I've got piles of them. At the moment, I'm using Daily Inspiration, which is about crystals. I shuffle them until one jumps out of the pile. I read it, journal on that, and then I use that to anchor my intention for the day ahead. And I really love doing this so much because it's just my time, and it's not like I've got a family. I live by myself with Gabe, my dog. So I do have the luxury of not being interrupted. I can just go into my lounge room and do this. But I know for some of you as women in private practice, you might have little distractions. So finding that time for yourself to do these things would be really, really helpful for you. But I started wondering if I could do something similar using my tarot cards and how I could really use these cards for private practice. And anyway, since then, of course, I've learned you absolutely can. And so now that's what I'm doing. But here's the thing. I did have to spend some time journaling through about why I was so worried about doing, not just doing the private practice readings for not just doing the tarot card readings for women in private practice, but I guess what my fear was or what my concerns were about being more public about this. And so what came through was, I guess I was just really worried. And when I dug deeper, it was worried about getting judged and ostracized because, as you know from, again, previous episodes, that has been a real problem in my industry. There's been a heck of a lot of judgment and bullying and it hasn't been very nice. So I guess some of that's still sitting there on my soul. It still needs to be worked through. So that fear popped up again. And, I recognize it as good old ego was getting in the way of me really being able to use this as a tool to help other women in private practice. And it's just that, it's a tool. It's not the be all and end all. It's not a swap for anything else, but it's just one of many approaches that women can draw upon when they feel in the mood, when they feel the time's right, and when they're in the zone to help them with doing things like attracting referrals. getting bookings, attracting the right clients, solving a problem, finding balance, all those sorts of things that women in private practice struggle with, right? So I guess I was really concerned that other practitioners would simply think it was a bit woo-woo, which of course I'm known for being a bit woo-woo, but they might even think it was a bit too out there. I was worried that they would think I wasn't being very professional, that wasn't a good thing. And that even people who love what I do and enjoy the work that I do might even think it was a bit extreme. But here's the thing. When I reflected on it more, you know what? Most people that follow me and engage with me now, and many that I get to work with, are open to and interested in this kind of stuff, right? Add to that, many of them are actively looking for something that's a little bit different for the mainstream. And add to that, at the end of the day, tarot is based on archetypes, which I'm going to talk to you about in a minute anyway. And you know, they're a very psychological thing, and dare I say it, evidence-based. So yes, now I have started to speak more publicly and openly about how I can support women in private practice resolve things that might be coming up for them with a tarot reading, all right? And that's what I'm going to share with you a little bit about today. But I'm just giving you the heads up here. Keep your eyes open, because you're probably going to start to see a little bit more from me, because I really want to, I guess, demystify it all so that it feels safer. Because I know one of the fears that women in private practice have about doing some of this, I want to say alternative work, is that they worry that, you know, maybe they're going to get into trouble for using it. Now, I'm not saying right here, right now, that you might want to use it as part of your therapeutic approach. In fact, there are some schools of thought, and okay, I'll digress for a minute. Here's what I think. I think probably not a great idea to use a tarot reading with a client in a therapeutic setting. I would probably shy away from that because all sorts of things. Number one, maybe it's not ethical if you're not trained. I don't know. Number two, maybe a tarot reading isn't based in science and evidence. And if you're somebody who's working in a field that requires science and evidence, it's probably going to conflict with, you know, what you're obligated to provide. Number three, it's probably not approved by various funding bodies like Medicare and private insurance and NDIS and stuff like that. And number four, it's probably going to set up expectations for clients that we don't want to put in place. Because a lot of you, not all, not coaches, but most of you who are working as counselors, psychologists, and social workers are working with people who are vulnerable. And so we don't want to be, I guess, compromising the work that we're doing with them. However, I also believe that you can incorporate things like an oracle deck or a tarot deck. I know. Some of you are feeling triggered already. Bear with me. In a session, as a way of helping a client perhaps get a different perspective on something. And so, yes, how would I do that? Well, how I would do that would be, I would just have a deck of maybe oracle cards there, or a deck of tarot cards there. And, you know, I would just get the client to, well, you could do this a few ways. You might get the client to shuffle them and then pull a card and then take the other cards away and just spend, you know, a couple of minutes talking about that card that's come up, and does it have any, can it give any fresh perspective on this old problem? Can it help, you know, what can they see in the card? What are all the little details in the card? Do any of those details have any relevance for this problem that they're experiencing now? And here's the reason why I think something like that can really be beneficial. I think it can be beneficial because it's going to, and as you'll hear about in a minute, it helps anybody to access information they already know on the inside. When we're talking about psychology, you know, we're not talking about going within and stuff like that. That's something I talk to you about when I've got my spiritual hat on. But in psychology terms and counseling terms, we might talk about instead the subconscious mind. So having a picture to look at that requires an interpretation from a client can help them access information that might not be available in their conscious waking mind, but could be uncovered from their unconscious mind. And we see this in so many tests. Like we see this with the Rorschach. The Rorschach, it's also called ink blot test. So, you know, it's that smudge, it's that sort of watercolor, the butterfly sort of folded image on a page. And you can give this picture to, you know, 1,000 different people and they'll all see something different. Apart from the one that looks like a pelvis, I think, or the one that looks like a monster, you know, the one I'm talking about. But anyway, the idea is that by giving somebody this ambiguous picture, they can start to access information that's in their subconscious mind. And I think that that's really, 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 really helpful, especially if you've got somebody who might be feeling stuck in therapy, right? It's not going to hurt to show them a picture and ask them what they see in that picture. And it might give you some insight as to what's going on for them. But I wouldn't be doing readings or anything like that, no. But I think you could absolutely use one as a tool for helping that client see something that they might otherwise miss. Anyway, I told you I kind of got off topic a little bit there. I'm hoping nobody's feeling triggered. I hope I've calmed everybody down now by talking about the Rorschach. But not only the Rorschach or the ink blot test, there's also, you know, the thematica perception test the WISC? Yes, it's the WISC, the Wechsler Intelligence Scale for Children. There's even some story cards and the children have to put the cards in the right order of the story and then tell the story. But even that has elements of that thematica perception, you know, even that is helping the children identify what might be coming up for them in their subconscious mind. You know, there's a picture, I think, of a lady washing dishes in the kitchen and I think there's somebody sitting at a table, but all the children I worked with had a different story about that based on their experience, their exposure to different things, But it also gets them thinking in new and creative and exciting ways. Do you see where I'm going with this for how you can use it in your private practice? It's so exciting. I know you're going to love it. Okay. So here's what I think in terms of how it can be applied for helping you run your private practice. So not in a therapeutic setting. Now I'm talking about you working on your practice, right? If you're feeling stuck, and here let's talk about attracting referrals, because this seems to be a big problem at the moment, even though in Australia and I imagine around the world, there's a higher demand than ever for mental health services, for counseling, for coaching, for psychology, right? Yet, I'm getting approached regularly by women saying, I'm worried I can't get any bookings. The bookings aren't coming through. I'm not getting any referrals. What's going on? And what's happening is they're doing so much. You know, they've got profiles up here, there, and everywhere. They've got blogs. They're doing their own podcasts, everything. But nothing's happening. And I know what that's like because I've been there too. You've heard me talk previously about the idea of seasons in private practice and like this whole ebb and flow. And we can go back to that topic in future if you like. But anyway, it's really interesting because I say to these women, and there was one I was talking to yesterday, and I said, so, you know, this has been going on for a while. She's like, yes. I said, okay, so what have you been doing? She goes, well, I've just done more of it. Like I've put up more blogs, more podcasts, more this, more that. And it really reminds me of that famous Einstein quote of like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting to get different results. Well, one of my coaches used to say, what got you here won't get you there. And I think, you know, when we don't know what else to do, we just keep doing the same old stuff and we do more of it, right? Instead of extending ourselves or trying something else. So, you know, I think there's this idea at the moment with women who are having trouble getting referrals that they just need to work harder or that they're not working harder enough. This is what they're sharing with me. But I want to say, I don't believe that your hard work has anything to do with how many referrals you're getting. Because here's the thing, if all of the women who were working really hard, if it were true, then all of the women who were working really hard would have fully booked diaries and then some. But we know that there are many women that are working really hard that don't have fully booked diaries and that are worried at the moment about getting referrals, right? So there's no correlation. between how hard you're working and the referrals that you get. I know that's probably triggering for some of you as well. But here's the other thing. Those of you who are in the private practice mentorship group will get it, because we talk a lot about energy and how to harness that, and how to identify which house of the four energies you're in, and understanding how to utilize that. And do you know what? There are women in that group who have been able to track when they're getting the referrals, and a lot of the time they're getting that abundance into the practice of money, time, balance, referrals, bookings, experiences, opportunities, etc., when they're not doing anything, right? When they're having their downtime, which seems so counterintuitive if you're still in that old mindset. But anyway, so here's the thing that you need to know before you go and have a reading. First off, you need to know that the cards aren't going to predict your fortune, right? It's not about that, and they're not magical or anything like that either. I happen to personally love story, and I love listening to people tell me stories, and I love the idea of transformation, and I consider myself, if I were an archetype, I would say I'm the magician archetype, because like many of you, I'm about that transformation. But your cards are not going to predict the future, okay? What the cards do is they allow us to interpret the meaning of that card that's being pulled, okay? And those cards aren't going to give you answers, right? The cards aren't going to tell you what to do or anything like that. What happens is it's really the meaning that the card reader is attributing to that card, right? So, for example, if you... if you went to a regular card reader at a psychic fair and you asked a question about getting referrals, that reader is going to give you their interpretation of that card. Or if you did this reading for yourself, you're going to have your own interpretation of that card. And if I did one for you, well, my interpretation is going to be in that private practice context, because I know this industry, I know this field, so I can be more specific with what's going on for you. But if you're doing it for yourself, which you absolutely can do, I think sometimes while you're just learning how to read the cards and how to do it, you might have some doubt about whether or not you're projecting onto the card what you want to see, what you want to hear, what you don't want to see, what you don't want to hear. And for that reason, I think if you're wanting some guidance around your private practice and you're open to using the cards to help you unlock something that perhaps you can't access for yourself right now, then I would absolutely suggest go and get a reading done, and either get that reading recorded, or if they're worth their salt, that person's going to allow you to record the session, or they're going to send you a summary of the reading so that you can, I guess, take it away. Because what's happening is when you're receiving a reading, you're being very present and your mind is going all over the place as the reader is coming up with ideas, right? And so it's hard for you to be present while your mind is wandering off thinking, oh, what does she mean by that? And what does that mean? And what does that mean? So having somebody who understands private practice do the reading for you is going to help a lot. But B, get somebody who can give you the promise of a summary reading. So she can email that to you, or he can email that to you, so that you've got sort of a plan. You've got your insights written out, and you've got something to, I guess, help you with that problem solving, and you can track your journey over the next, say, I don't know, I usually tell people to track for 10 weeks, but up to you. I think most of my readings go for about 8 to 12, so I go right in the middle and I say track them at 10. So the women will come back to me after 10 weeks and say, well, yeah, this has happened, this didn't, da 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 da. And so I think understanding that you can do it for yourself, but be open to whatever comes through. I think the difficulty with doing it for yourself that I find sometimes when I was first starting was my ego was getting in the way. My ego wants to keep me nice and safe and protect me. So sometimes I would like draw the death card and I would freak out and I think, oh no, I'm going to lose my practice. I'm going to lose my business and stuff like that. Although that's not at all what the death card means. And I knew that, but I would still have this panic attack, or I would take it very seriously and very literally. And I just think sometimes doing it for yourself while you're learning can be anxiety inducing. So I would either go and do a little course. And if you're going to do a course in tarot, what I would suggest is, number one, stick with one course. Don't go doing multiple courses, because all of the courses are going to give you different interpretations and different ways of reading, and you'll confuse yourself. And stick with one deck of cards, because all the cards are different. Now, a really popular deck to get you started would be a deck called the Rider-Waite. And it's a very traditional deck. It's got a lot of history behind it. Now, I personally don't use, I'm not making good recommendations here from the sounds of it, but I am, trust me. It's a very popular deck. It's one that's easy to read. I personally don't have it just because I like pretty things and it just doesn't please my eye to look at. So I have my own deck of tarot cards. It's similar to the Rider-Waite, but it's got more pretty things in it and I just love to look at it. I find it very interesting. So it holds my interest and I love looking at all the detail in it. But you find your own deck of tarot cards. It's going to work for you. And just stick with that course that you do. All right. Because as I said, all the different courses have slight variations on the meanings of different cards. And if you're just learning and you haven't got your footing yet, you'll confuse yourself. And I don't want you to do that. I want to make it as simple as possible for you to use this as a tool just to help uncover some insights. Now, with a tarot deck, it has 78 cards. 22 of those cards are what's called the major arcana. And this is what Jung is talking about. Carl Jung, he was a protege of Freud. Carl Jung was a founder of analytical therapy. And he really had so much to contribute in the field of archetypes. In fact, he was the one that coined the term archetype. And an archetype really is that it's an image that's recognized universally by what's called the collective conscious. And so, for example, you might have a picture of, a night sky. And that picture of the night sky might mean the same thing to thousands of people all around the world. Or you might have a picture of a wheel, and that might mean the same thing to thousands of people around the world. So an archetype is really a symbol that most of us agree on, and we have a very shared understanding of what it means. Now, the way that archetypes are used in the major arcana is to traditionally they depict your life journey. So we start with the Fool, which is zero, and then we go all the way up to the End, which is, I can't remember off the top of my head, I've lost my train of thought, but it shows the path that we move through in life. And so that's one element of the tarot deck. And then the other is what's called the Minor Arcana. And the Minor Arcana have four suits. So like in regular playing cards, you've got clubs, spades, diamonds, and hearts. Here you've got four suits. And they're coins, sometimes called pentacles. They're wands, sometimes called staffs or batons. They're swords. And they're... this is the last one. Pentacles, I've said cups, and cups are cups or chalices, and they usually represent emotion and things like that. And anyway, all of these cards have different meanings attached to them, and what I really, 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 really love about these is that, again, they help you unlock information you already hold within you in your subconscious mind, okay? Now, the other thing, too, is when we're interpreting cards, there's an element of individuation with those. And individuation is this sense of self-actualization. This is our inner drive to want to move into that next step, want to take that next step, want to move into that next path. So there's that inherent desire that we as women in private practice have within us that we want to know what the next step is. And this is what Jung called my gosh. Do you know what? It's 10 past 10 on Saturday morning and I'm stumbling over my words. It's what he called individuation. And the other thing that Jung termed was synchronicity. So a synchronicity was his term for referring to a meaningful coincidence. And so sometimes when you're looking at the cards, you're going to have an experience of a meaningful coincidence or a synchronicity. And if that doesn't happen during your reading with somebody, it's going to happen ideally within, you know, a few weeks or months after that reading's taken place. Yeah. The other thing that's really beautiful about these cards is this concept of semiotics. So semiotics really talks about symbols and the meanings that we attach to symbols and signs, okay? But it's really more, instead of thoughts and that type of cognitive meaning, when we're talking about semiotics, we're really thinking about feelings that are evoked, feelings that are rising up within us as a result of witnessing this particular card or hearing about an interpretation of a card, right? So each symbol helps make us aware of the questions that we're asking and the answers that might be coming up by helping us tune into, you know, that really beautiful feminine energy there of the feelings. And this is something that we have a whole month of learning about in the private practice method. Enrollments for that are open in a few weeks, and we have a start date on January the 9th. But we have a whole month of learning in the private practice method around things like how you can use tarot and oracle cards to support you as a woman in your private practice. So in terms of attracting referrals to your private practice, one of the ways that you can use your reading, whether you try it for yourself, or whether you get somebody else to do it for you, is the value of it is that it's going to help you see things that your conscious mind can't see. That's the key, right? And that's going to help shift you out of this masculine doing energy. It's going to shift you out of thinking you've just got to do more stuff in order to get the results that you want. And it's going to allow you to take a beat, relax, breathe, and open your mind, open your heart to see what else might be contributing to this current state and unlock some insights for you that aren't available to you in your waking conscious mind for how you can start to attract those right clients. These cards can give you insights as to what's blocking you, preventing you, impeding you, but it can also give you insights as to the way through that. And that's what I think the value of having a reading every now and again for your private practice can do for you. So I think it's something that's very private. I would keep if you did go and get a reading done for your private practice, I'll keep it nice and private. I would check that the person doing it has some experience in private practice so she understands the context for interpreting the cards, because you're just going to get a more valuable reading that way than going and talking to a stranger who's got no background or knowledge about the work that you do. I think get them to either record it for you or ask you for a written summary, because even if you go there and you're taking notes about what she's saying, just the process of you taking notes means you're going to be attending to the note taking instead of being present in the reading and present in the room, right? And Yeah, check in with yourself. And the other thing too, I would suggest is look at how you want to integrate any light bulb moments that come through for you as a result of that reading. So it's not enough, I don't think, just to do a reading or receive a reading. I think you actually want to make sort of some kind of action plan from there so that you've got, you know, your masculine satisfied, you're coming away with some to-dos. So when that person gives you a little bit of a summary, they should include for you, you know, a couple of little action steps that you can take moving forward that will help you with that problem. And in this case, it's around unlocking that flow of referrals back to your private practice for you. How cool is this, right? Don't you love it so, 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 so much? Thank you, everybody, for allowing me to be able to be more open with you about talking about this kind of stuff. I just love it so much, and I know that so many of you do too. And if it's anything I can help you with at any time, of course, reach out. I will be doing some training on this as well in the Private Practice Mentorship Group. If you're wanting information about either the private practice method, it's a 12-month program, starts in January 2021, January the 9th, and it goes through to the end of the year next year. Each topic, each month has a different topic. It's results focused, and it's a blend of strategy and some of that feminine work so that you can harmonize your masculine and feminine energy and just make life in your practice and in your personal life so much lighter and easier. It's restricted to only 5 people, and I haven't started taking enrollments yet. In fact, I haven't even done the sales page yet, but I will put something together, and people who are already connected with me as coaching clients, alumni, clients or clients in my private practice method will be able to access that program at half off, at 50% off. So they'll get a special discount. So if you want to join that, feel free to reach out, and I can absolutely keep your name on a list and send you some information when I've put it together. But have a beautiful day, everybody. I hope that you feel really inspired as a result of this. I'd love to know your thoughts, so feel free to share your comments. And if you enjoyed this episode, do share it with other women in private practice. You know, I think that because we like this stuff, probably our friends like this stuff too. And I just really want to try and create a bit of a ripple effect in our industry and let other women know that this stuff is safe and we can do it, and it's pleasing for both the masculine and the feminine energy, and we can harmonize those energies and get some real results. All right, my beautifuls, have a lovely Saturday. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.